Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The writer often credited with popularizing the literary genre of medical thriller is Robin Cook. You may know his novels Coma or Outbreak, but the physician and author has just released his 35th book. Although the book, Charlatans, is a novel, it delves into medicine in the age of social media, as well as the controversial practice of concurrent surgeries, and it seems loosely based on some real events and hospitals here in Boston. Robin Cook joins us from WCAI in Woods Hole. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So this is, as we said, your 35th book. What is it about medical thrillers for you?
Well, I never expected to be a writer at all.
No?
And it just seems that I fell into it because we have such an egregious healthcare system.
Hmm.
It was something that I sensed right when I got into medical school, within the first months. And because in a certain sense, I had watched all the medical shows. It was part of the reason I went into medicine, because I wanted to be a Dr. Ben Casey or a Dr. Marcus Welby, MD, or something of that sort. But I realized the system was completely different and that the public, including myself, didn't have any idea. And I thought that there was an opening for somebody to write about medicine in this country the way it really is. And, of course, when you're a medical student, there's no time, and then you graduate and you go from the frying pan into the fire, and there's no time when you're a resident. And but then I got drafted in the military, and I suddenly had some free time, so I started writing these fictional books about medicine so the general public can have some sort of an idea of what it's really like.
Hmm. But they're novels. Why not go the nonfiction route, or do you think you want to use the novel as almost an advocacy tool?
Absolutely. And in fact, if I look back in history, it seems that fiction is more powerful in terms of affecting public policy than nonfiction, which seems to be somehow amazing, because fiction is fictitious. And yet it has the power to influence people in a way that nonfiction doesn't. And also can go out to a lot more people. So a lot more people get awakened to an issue that they might not have gotten awakened by any other means. Often when you write a nonfiction book about the problems in medicine, the people who read it are those people who are already aware of the problem, so to speak. Whereas if you do it as a fiction book, like Charlatans, and you get it out to a lot of just normal people, and also to get a movie out, I think that we live in a culture that's very oriented towards video, and I'm happy to say that that Charlatans is already going to be a motion picture as well. So
Wow. We'll
get the readers and the viewers, and they'll be able to see some things about medicine that they didn't think about before.
Hmm.
And one of them, as you mentioned in the introduction, is this issue about concurrent surgery.
Mm-hmm.
People have heard about it to some degree. There's been some excellent articles in the Boston Globe,
right,
about it. But, you know, that's nonfiction. But the trouble with that kind of nonfiction is that as great as those articles were, the next day there's another something or other. Trump might say something or tweet something. Mm. And all of a sudden it goes out of people's minds in a way. And so it doesn't really have the potential effect of something that, if you read a novel and you identify with the characters in some form or fashion, it stays with you.
Hmm.
And so that's why I decided that fiction could be more powerful than nonfiction.
And so you would say then that you very much write your novels to become movies.
I have to say that my second novel, I definitely did. I wrote it as a screenplay first. That was Coma, and it did become a movie. And the whole reason I did that is I saw that if I was trying to influence public opinion, I had to get people to read my book. And my first book wasn't read by very many people. And so I had to do something to try to get the second book so that people could look at medicine from a slightly different point of view. And so I did write it as a movie first. Huh. And but then I got very much interested in just writing the books. And also I realized that the movie industry was a different beast. And in fact, I was very strongly encouraged to move to Los Angeles. And since I didn't really think that that was something that I wanted to do, I decided I'd concentrate on writing the books.
Why in this particular book? Why the title, Charlatans? And what is the issue in this book? That you mentioned concurrent surgeries, but there are a couple of issues going on simultaneously in this book. What do you think are the main issues that you hope to bring to light in this book, to bring the public's attention to?
Well, mainly the fact that our culture is changing so dramatically and so rapidly. And it seems that a lot of people aren't really all that aware of it. That's our general culture is changing. So is the culture of medicine changing for some of the same reasons and because of the internet and social media. So I wanted to bring this issue to the fore. And one aspect of it is that in a certain sense, we're all becoming charlatans because of this urge that social media, the pressure that social media is putting on people. I'd have to say it's somewhat of a narcissistic pressure. And also the fact that might just be in terms of social situations, but in terms of business, it turns out that getting likes can be very, very beneficial. Hmm. There are some doctors now.
Right?
Yeah, there's some doctors now who their bonuses are dependent upon getting good feedback and appropriate likes on social media. And doctors are members of our society. And the other issue that I find interesting is that that even Facebook feels that probably somewhere around 10% of their profiles are fake profiles, that they're not even real people. Not only are people perhaps making things up about themselves, but even making up totally fictitious characters and using them for whatever reasons. And if you say 10% of Facebook users, we're talking about 100 million fake profiles out there. Hmm. And these dating sites also. Our whole culture is going in this direction, and it's having effect on medicine. Hmm. And doctors are using social media for various and sundry reasons. And one of the big...
Both good and bad, you would say.
Absolutely.
Though, right? I mean, they're
absolutely.
Not all bad. As
no.
much as there can be certainly some negative consequences, there are also, obviously, technology can do some very useful things in every field, including medicine, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I think most doctors don't realize that their patients are getting most of their information not from the medical profession now, but actually from social media and the internet. And this is going to change medicine, or it is already changing medicine, right. Because a lot of times patients now will come in to see the doctor and know quite a bit about some specific ailment or that they think they have or might have. And it's changing the interaction that goes on between the doctor and the patient. Frequently, the doctor feels he's got to kind of excuse himself and go quickly Google something and then come back and act as if they already knew what it was that the patient was asking.
When did you last practice medicine?
Well, I kind of think that I have never stopped. I don't have a private practice anymore, but once you're a doctor, you're always a doctor. And somehow I feel that I'm constantly acting as a doctor in some form or fashion. In fact, I think of myself, I'm more confident of myself as a doctor than I am as a writer.
But you don't actually practice medicine, per se, or see patients.
Yes, I don't have a private practice any longer. Mm-hmm. But I stay current. I get the New England Journal of Medicine, for instance, every week, and probably read it more religiously now than I did when I was actually practicing medicine.
I guess I just wonder, if you didn't feel this way, and we only have a minute left here, and I'm sorry about that, but if you didn't feel this way about the system, if the system were different, would you not write about it?
I might have run out of things to write. I might be the only person in the entire country that's benefiting from our screwy system. I mean, every day I pick up the newspaper and I say, I could write a book about that.
Right, right. And you have. Robin Cook is the author of 35 books, including Coma, Acceptable Risk, and Cure. His latest book is Charlatans. Robin Cook, thanks so much. It was delightful talking with you today.
My pleasure.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston. Mm-hmm.